Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Wichita. May God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, we're going to be in the book of Jude here. This is the epistle that Jude had written. Anyway, in the book of Jude here, he's going to be going through some warnings, is basically what it is. He's going to present the dangers of false teachers. And, you know, he's been told this by even Jesus in end times, that there'll be those who'll be trying to deceive us. So this is just Jude. He first, when he started out this letter, he just first had it as a thought to be able to teach or send to this letter out to the different churches here of just common salvation is all he was really going to talk about. But as we know, our Lord, the Holy Spirit, he has different things in mind. So we're going to go through this. First of all, we'll start out with the greeting here. It says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. I thought this was kind of nice here because with Jude, you know, he could actually state who he really is. I mean, he is actually a half-brother of Jesus Christ, so he didn't boast in that. That was what I thought was really good. I mean, this is all about Jesus, and that's what he's doing here. He's letting him know that he's a bondservant, that doulos, that has give all to the Lord. So that's what he's doing here, is pointing out everything to that it's to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is the brother of James, who is the half-brother of Jesus, which makes him a half-brother of Jesus too. So these things that he's going to be speaking of, he knows firsthand. And it says, to those who are called, sanctified by the Lord, by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. So he's just lifting him up to let him know that he's speaking to those that are believers, and what he's meaning here by they are called and sanctified. When you're a believer, you have been set apart. That's what sanctified really means. You are set apart for the Lord. So that's what he's just encouraging them here. And of course, he gives them the, says, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you, which this is a common greeting that really we ought to have for one another at all times, that we really ought to be in the love of the Lord, that we should be in his mercy and have his peace. Sure, this world's going to be pressing in upon us, and we're going to end up having these different things that beat in on us daily, our jobs, just our body. It gets weak. It gives up. Those things of those who are trying to deceive us, those things of the enemy trying to break us down. So as long as we look to the Lord here, that's what he's saying here. He just wanted mercy, peace, and love to be multiplied to the believers here, which is not just the believers of this time here. It's today. It's you. It's all of us. And in 3 here, we're going to start. This is where he starts in, and he doesn't mix much words. He just starts right in. But anyway, it says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. This was his wish, his heart, was just to be able to write of common salvation to one another. It says, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly in the faith. Now here, he said he found it. I mean, you know, it's the Holy Spirit actually talked to him and let him know that, you know, it's more important that we talk more about the faith, keeping it in the truth, being on the alert, being on the lookout. Not just the common salvation that we all have, but this is the faith, and this faith here is what we're talking is not just about the personal faith. This is the faith of the church as it was handed down through from the apostles. So this is actually reminding them that he wants to exhort them that they would contend earnestly. And, contend would be to anguish over. Study hard to be able to stay in that faith. Earnestly would be to just seek it for its truth, not for something some man may be saying, such as me up here. I'm liable to mess some of this up, but I pray that the Lord be speaking to you and let you know that it is the real truth. But again, that's what Jude's heart is right here. He wants to forewarn them. He wants to keep them aware of the false teachers that are out there now. I mean, even at the time, that was the first thing that plagued the first church, was all the false teachings. They wanted to break down. They wanted to discredit the Jesus and the salvation. They didn't want anybody to believe that. And again, how can Satan work on that the best way? He can work on it by getting in the church. So that's what he's forewarning them about here, letting us know too. We see it in our daily lives of what's going on and how the different churches are changing things to suit them. So he's just exhorting them, letting them know to cling tight to the truth. Whether it hurts or not, it's still going to be the best. And it says, which was once for all delivered to the saints. So this is the faith of the whole church itself is what it is. And it says, for certain men, it says, have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out of condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and to deny the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So here he's letting them know this is who we're really going to be looking out for. Those who are trying to put on that facade that they are followers of Jesus, but in reality they have their own agenda. And they, at that time, they were doing different kind of worships. I mean, they had their different temple gods and goddesses. They had the different things that they tried to lead you to believe that this was the way to worship the Lord. And it was only just due to their own flesh that they were trying to do it. They were basically just trying to justify themselves is what it boiled down to. But we, as believers in the Lord, we need to keep on lookout and aware of what Satan is doing. And again, it's his job to try to break this all down and so that we will not keep our hearts towards the Lord. And here, Jude could have actually named names at this time. He could have told them who all he was pointing to, but in reality, this book, they know who they are, and they know that they'd be very uncomfortable as he was reading this, or as it was being spoken. So he didn't really want to do that as much as he's wanting to exalt the believers and be able to keep on the eye, keep lookout, keep aware, because the Lord can come back at any moment. He tells us that. So he's just encouraging him here. And then in verse 5, it says, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, I'm one who needs to be reminded quite a lot. I don't know about you guys, but I tend to, even though I know it, I tend to let my mind get in the way and then kind of drift off from it. As I was studying, I was listening to a tape of Pastor Chuck's, and I'll share his experience. It was really a pretty good one. He said his experience was about a gentleman in the body wanted to give him a new car. And he says, well, I don't buy new cars. I let someone else take care of that to depreciate too much. He goes, no. He says, you don't understand. I own a dealership, and I want to give you this new car. You just tell me what your desires are, what you want. We'll have it for you. So he goes and he picks his favorite car that he wanted, got it all set up the way he wanted it set up. And they call him and tell him, come and get it, it's ready. So he gets it and he's all joyful as each one of us would be. First of all, being blessed. He's praising the Lord. Thank you for blessing me with this. Just very loving of being able to receive that. And he ended up talking to his wife, and his wife said, hey, I need some milk. Can you stop by the store? So he decides, sure. So he stops in at the store, and he gets the milk, and he comes out to the car. And I don't know if any of the rest of you can relate to this. I can, so I know what he feels like. But anyway, he come out there, and he gets ready to get in the car, and he gets to the driver's side door. And he sees this blemish, he said. Then he said, a ding. And in my mind, because I know how I felt when I had seen one on mine, I thought, a crater. It was huge. But it wasn't that big. But anyway, getting to where he was going with it, he worked himself up. He was so upset how somebody would do this to a new vehicle and not care about someone else. And anyway, he goes home. And he says, his son finally said, Dad, did you get your new car? And he goes, yeah, I got my new car. And he goes, well, let's go see it. So they go out to look at it, and he said his son went through pushing all the buttons and playing with all the bells and whistles and pretty soon he goes, Dad, what happened to the door? And he said, well, my flesh kind of raised up again, and here I go. He says, I started on it again. He says, well, you know, it, somebody not really caring about anybody else's stuff and that. And he said, my son looked at me and said, Dad, it'll all burn. You know, so it is cool. It brought him back. We can all drift away. We can all tend to forget every once in a while where I was getting with that. And I thought, you know, that's a very good story. I didn't have the exact same experience, but very similar. And I was the same way. My car ended up with a ding in it. And I, oh, no, how can anybody do something like that? Not caring about other people's stuff. Of course, at that time, I wasn't saved. So I was the old grumbler that just kept right on going. Looking back now, though, it doesn't matter. It all burns. And he said later on, as he found out, he said that I think it was the sheriff, they had called wanting to know about the car, if he knew anything about it. He goes, well, yeah, I sold that car many years ago. Well, it's been abandoned offside the road, and it was burnt. Need to say, it was burned. But he sold it many years ago. So, see, that was just a deal. All this stuff is just that. It's stuff. The thing that really matters is the word here of the Lord. What really matters, we need to dig into it. But anyway, it says, once you knew this, but the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And you know, when the people were brought out of Egypt by the Lord, oh, they were all rejoicing. You know, it was a glorious time in Israelites' time of their life. I mean, it was, had been in persecution all this time and been enslaved and bondage. The Lord takes them out. And he took out the believers and the non-believers even at that time. They were all Israelites, so they all left. Well, taking those non-believers with you will tend to kind of break you down. It's kind of what this is all about. And what we're getting to here, they go all the way through the journey of the desert, and they get to the promised land, and they are looking in. And, of course, then they send out their spies, you know, to go check it out because they were kind of fearful, not really clinging to the Lord. But anyway, they were going out to be able to check it out. They get reports back, oh, no, there's giants in the land. They got great walls around their cities. We can't go in there. So with their non-belief, the Lord said, well, these people are not going to go in. We're going to spend 40 years on a journey. And at the same time, this journey was to get rid of those believers. So, and because they were worried about their children being the ones who would die by going in. Well, in reality, they were killing themselves in that very moment by not believing in the Lord, trusting what he had to say, trusting what he was going to do for them. He'd already brought them out of that major persecution the way it was. And aren't we that way whenever we were first saved? Oh, we were so joyous and just, you know, we just couldn't contain ourselves. Of course, as time goes on a little bit more, we become more of a Christian into it, then we get to kind of be lackadaisical. We kind of get laid back. This is what Jude is warning about here. Don't be in that situation. Don't get comfortable. And look who's talking. I'm one of the most. I got to be comfortable. Doesn't matter whether it's at home, whether the air conditioner kicked on, it was cool. You know, hey, I'm the one that has to be comfortable. And not realizing where the real comfort lies, and that's laying in the Lord. Need to stay there. But anyway, in verse 6 here, it says, and the angels who did not keep their proper dominion, but left their own abode. Now, these angels here are the ones who, just before the great flood, they had ended up seeing what God had created with man, and they ended up wanting to appropriate with the women of man. And they were basically the falling angels is what this is boiling down to. And they didn't want to stay in their place. They were higher than man at that point. They still are. They're the ones who are set there to serve the Lord. And they chose to be able to fall. I don't want to call it stumble because they actually fell. I mean, they gave up what they really wanted. And at that time, that's why the Lord actually created the great flood of Noah's time, was to be able to wash that out, destroy that. I mean, after all, they appropriated with man and ended up creating abominations. They did whatever they wanted to do, and that's where the Lord wanted to straighten that out. So that's kind of what that's what's being spoken of here, in that they didn't keep their a proper domain. They left their own abode. And it says, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness and the judgment of the great day. So that's what their judgment's going to be. So again, this is that warning of clinging to the Lord, believing in what he has for us. What he has for one may not be what we think is as great for the other. But as long as we're in the Lord's love and in his mercy and his grace, how can it be any different than great? I mean, in our eyes, we may think it's weak, but it's really not. If the Lord's giving it to us, it's where we need to be. So just be happy with where we're at. We hear that, be happy with it. Of course, then our flesh jumps up and says, oh no, I deserve more. Only if the Lord wants to give us that much more. And then in 7, it says, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them is a similar manner of those having given themselves over to sexual immorality and have gone after strange flesh and set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of the eternal fire. And of course, we know what Sodom and Gomorrah was. It was those who lusted after their own thing or whatever they wanted to do. They even, this strange flesh, this was man with man, woman with woman, other kind of things that are even hard to even think of, but they did it all, as wanting to do it all, at all times. And they were still trying to say, we're following the Lord. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah was a very rich area, this valley that they were in. I mean, it was a very rich area. So here they are, they had been blessed mightily anyway, with their agricultural and all that they were growing. But again, a lot of times that's how we as man and civilization, as we call it, how we get tripped up. We get to feeling too comfortable and too everything's too good, and we end up losing sight of who's giving us all that, who is handing it to us. And anyway, this is, again, though, he's letting them know, here are some of the ones and what's going to happen to them for being non-believers. And we all know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. He rained down fire upon them. It destroyed the cities completely. Even to this day, there's nothing there to be able to grow or whatever. And in 8, it says, likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. These dreamers they're talking about here are still these false teachers that are trying to go by the way of the whatever suits them. The different idol worship that they were still involved in while they're wanting to say, I'm a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ and follower of his. Well, you know, you're saved doesn't necessarily mean you're ever going to, that you will lose your salvation. You can still do what you want to do, and the Lord's grace will give you. No, that's deceiving. God still has us to follow him, still desires us to follow him. So we need to be on the lookout for that, on the lookout of it in our own lives and those who are around us. If we have teachers that are starting to teach us these different things, that it's okay to do this. Like I say, different churches, if they are teaching things that are not true to the Scripture, they are those deceivers. We have to watch out for that. Now, do they need to be brought back from that? Yes, they should be tried to be brought back from that. Explain it to them. If they just want to turn away from it and say, no, you're still all wrong, then it's up to the Lord to take care of it. And we'll see that kind of here with Michael the archangel when he is in here next. It says in verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses. Now you know the devil, he wanted Moses' body and all that. That's what they're what's being talked about here. If you want to kind of go back and read some about that, there's a little bit, and it's in Genesis 34:6. in this part of it here, this is where Michael the archangel is contending with the devil. It says, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dare not bring against him a revealing accusation against Satan, the one who probably deserved it, but keeping knowledge of where his place is. He is the angel, but he's not the one who makes these decisions, is what he was doing. It says, but said, the Lord rebuke you. In this, he is saying to keep mindful of where we're at, what our position is, where we should be. Keep pointing to the Lord, looking to the Lord, let the Lord handle it. And that's what Michael the archangel, a powerful angel here, he probably could have and justifiably told the devil a lot of things, but it wasn't his place. That's God's place. So that we need to keep on the lookout for those who would want to try to lead us in other ways of making that statement that you can do this. I myself wouldn't want to be confronting the devil. If God isn't there, I want him between me and the devil. I don't want to be there confronting him. After all, he is an angel that God created, which was above us. It is much stronger, many years to be able to do what he wants to do above us. So that's why I would rather have the Lord be my mediator, which is what our Lord Jesus Christ is. He's the one who's going to contend with that. That's not our worry. He will be the one who does that. And 10, it says, but these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, but brutal beast. In these things they corrupt themselves. Gossipers, those who are trying to make themselves out more than what they really are. They speak of other churches or other bodies or other actual leaders that are God's leaders, talking about them just to make themselves be more important. We need to look out for those. One who keeps pointing to themselves is usually, that's a big red flag we need to keep on the outlook for. Should we pray for them? Yes, by all means. I mean, they may think they're trying to do the right thing, but they've been deceived, so we need to keep them lifted up to the Lord to be able to change them. We can't do it, but he can. And in 11, it says, woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam, for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. We know who Cain is. We know what his problem was. His was pride. He ended up killing his brother for it. And Balaam, his was greed. Oh, he just wanted everything. And Korah, he was rebellious king. He was a very rebellious person here. So these guys who are trying to point to themselves and try to point themselves out as how great they are, they fell by the way of these three: pride, greed, and rebellion. I mean, what were we before we were called out from the world in reality? I know that I was prideful and I was greedy on a lot of things. Maybe not everything. I still thought I was a pretty good guy. Rebellious? Oh, yes. I knew more than Dad did. Of course, here they're talking about not just our earthly father, but our heavenly father. Oh, I pray that I never get into a situation where I think I know more than my heavenly father. It's bad enough to say I know more than my earthly father. And then in 12 it says, these are spots in your love fest. While they feast with you without fear, serve only themselves. So here they haven't even got any fear of being around us whenever they're doing their deed, basically. They have blended in so much that they have just feel like, hey, I'm one of you, but in reality, I know I'm not. I'm getting done what I need to have done for my own good. It says, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. And in this, I mean, in this region where they're at here, when they seen clouds, they were just sure they were going to be able to get rain, so because everything needed to be nourished and grown. Well, they're deceivers. If they're just a cloud that looks like it's going to deliver and doesn't deliver anything, just boast a lot, be on the lookout. Be on the lookout for that teacher that's out of way. Be on the lookout for that leader that's out of way. Of course, we know about fruit trees. If they aren't giving any fruit, that they may look pretty when they're blooming and all that, but when they're not giving you that fruit, which is what they're really there for, again, they're just boastful again. It says they're twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. Those who are teaching of false teachings, that's all they're doing. As long as we are clinging to the Lord, we are seeking His truth, they are doing nothing more than just building their complete destruction, is what they're doing. The real fear we have is, are we going to listen to them and fall into that trap? Again, Jude here is forewarning these people. Be on the outlook for that. God tells us that. Keep looking. Be ready. And it says, their own shame, wandering stars for whom is revealed in blackness and darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh of Adam, he's a prophet, he prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. Now Enoch, he was the seventh from Adam. He's the seventh generation from Adam. He is a prophet. He also was the first to be taken up without dying. He had never died. God took him with him. So just kind of a little side note there. This 10,000s they're talking about, it's a term, a Jewish term that they use because it's a number that don't know. We say several, we say hundreds, they use tens of thousands to let us know that there's going to be a lot of saints coming back with Jesus when he comes back, and that's what this is talking about, the end days, the end times. When the Lord comes back, he'll bring back 10,000s. It's not a specific number, don't know how many. Only the Lord knows that. But as long as we keep striving for the truth, and that we'll be part of that number. That's the main thing we need to look forward to. It says to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which godly sinners have spoken against him. And again, this is not just going to be against the men or the leaders of the time. It's going to even be these angels that have fallen. It's going to be against Satan, too, that they're going to be doing this judgment with the Lord. And in 16, it says, these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust. A very good warning for us. Let's not be that person. Let's not be one that would do for ourselves. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain for their own self. And that's, I mean, we see it a lot of times. Right now, we've got those who are trying to get elected, trying to be each party's leader. They're going to tell a lot of things that are just to be able to get your attention, be able to get their vote. We pray that that isn't what they're doing. We pray that they're actually showing their true worth of what they've done. When they start making up stuff or stretching it out, those are some we need to be on the watch out for. And being as we are in a time where we're going to be trying to elect somebody, that's what we need to be aware of. Are they just flatterers? Are they just somebody who wants to tell you what you want to hear? In 17 it says, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember those true words. Remember what he has for us. It says, now they told you that there would be mockers in the last times who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. This is something that Jesus has even told us, and I believe it was in Matthew where he had made that statement that there will be those who are going to be mocking, and they're going to be trying to destroy, trying to distract. So let's be on the lookout. This is nothing new. This is just something that we need to be brought to our memory quite often, especially now. We are getting closer. If they felt they were close then, over 2,000 years ago, how close are we today? And it says, in 19, it says, these are sensual persons who use divisions, not having the Spirit. And in 20, it says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. What an encouragement to us. How do we do that? We're meeting here together tonight just to be able to listen to the Word. That is one way we do that. We do it in prayer. We do it in prayer for the Holy Spirit. Seeking the Holy Spirit, what He has for us, what He wants of us, what He would prefer for us to be doing. Not our will, but His. And in 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Again, that's how do we do that? Meeting together, reading the Word, praying to the Lord, praying for one another. You wouldn't think that that would be it, but no. He says, keep in the love of the Lord. What is His love? His love is for each and every one of us. So would we be doing wrong by praying for those? No, that's where we need to be. It says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This is also making a statement here, not just every once in a while when you feel like it. Not just today, okay, I did my deed today. No, continually, tomorrow, the next minute. Do that continuously until eternal life, until the Lord comes back, till He raptures us, takes us home, or until we die and go on. Either way, that's what this is for. Keep looking for that mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, His love. Stay in His light. And in 22 it says, and on some have compassion, make a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garment defiled by the flesh. And what this is talking about here is us with one another. Help that believer. Whenever they stumble, be there to encourage. Be there to listen. Sometimes just listening is better than even saying anything, but be there. Be there lovingly. Whenever there's a wrong decision made, don't be the first one to say, I told you so. Be there with that loving word of what God wants us to do. So that way we keep encouraging one another. That's some of them just with compassion, you can help them out of that downward spiral. Others, you just flat got to scare them to death. That's all there is to it. And how's that done? With God's Word. But again, will it scare them unless the Lord has pulled upon their heart? No. But still, be obedient. Be ones to share what the Lord has already done in your life, what you know of what He's doing. Be compassionate to one another. Be there ready to help one another. And this hate the defiled garment of flesh. That's not the person. Don't hate the person. Don't hate really. It's the sins what we're supposed to hate. And you know the word hate, that's pretty strong. But then again, that's what God does. He hates sin. So we should be in that same manner. Are we still going to sin? Yes, we are. Should we feel like we're completely inadequate? We can't do it? We can't be with God because of that? No. He's already told us that He's there. Just give it over to Him. So we need to make sure that we go back to that. Ask for that forgiveness and give it to Him. He will take that. He'll take that guilt and stuff away from us that we think that, oh, well, that makes us not worthy. Well, if that's the case, I was not worthy 5 seconds ago, 5 days ago, 5 months ago, because I'm constantly stumbling and bruising my nose. Sometimes it's worse than just that. But again, let's get up and run that race. And in 24, it says, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling. And I thought this was pretty good here. He uses the word stumbling. It doesn't use the word fall. Fall usually means you fell clear out. You're not in the Lord's grace anymore. Here it's just a stumbling. When we sin, we're believers, we stumble. Can we stumble to the point that we are no longer believers? That's up to God. But again, when we stumble, and I thought that was good, who can take care of that stumble? And who also can present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy? And it's the Lord Jesus Christ that he's talking about here. In 25 it says, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. This is a short letter, but it's to the point. It's to the point of keeping yourself pointed to the Lord. Be on the lookout for those that are out there, because they are there, and sometimes they're calling your brother or sister. And a lot of times they are. Be on the lookout of what they're really there for. Are they for their own gain, or are they to help you to be pointed to the Lord? And to me, this is very good encouragement for each and every one of us. So I just encourage you to do that with one another. And thank you for letting me share that with you. Any questions or anything?
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, please contact us at area code 316-263-3804. Or check us out on the web at www.calvarychapelwichita.org.